And there we go. Cheltenham is over and the flats return. Jess, welcome along to the Racing Postcast. Brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart in the hosting chair, taking you through the weekend action on ITV. As I mentioned, we've got Doncaster. The turf flat season is back, the Lincoln being the highlight on the card there. But we have got some jumps action as well coming from Newbury in the second part of the show. And as always, joined by a spectacular panel of guests. We've got betting editor Keith Melrose, we've got Johnny Pearson, our Irish handicapper, and of course from Unibet, no Ed Nicholson, we've got the super sub Brett Williams here. Brett, first of all, how was your Cheltenham?
Not too bad at all, thank you, Sam. Yeah, it seems a long way ago now. I've been to Chepstow and Uttoxeter since then, ridden out a couple of lots as well each morning as well, so that seems a long way away. But no, it was a great week, wasn't it? It's had its obviously problems and from sort of a lot of negative publicity, but you know, I think from a racing point of view, you know, that we saw some great performance, and obviously galloping the shot was just brilliant, wasn't he, in the Gold Cup, and roll on 2025.
Absolutely. Well, look, we've got the flat to go through now, haven't we? Not long now. We've got a great card at Doncaster to get through. We're going to get through five races there, so we'll start as quick as possible. And we start off there with the 120, which is the Doncaster Mile Stakes, a listed contest over a mile. Cracking a little contest to start the flat turf season, with Knight topping the market at 9-4, Charin 11-4, Astral Bow 4-1, Holloway Boy is 5-1, Gray's Monument 10-1, Paddyshack is 10-1 also, and Dashing Roger, the outside the lot, at 33-1. Like I say, a cracking little contest to get things started here on the postcast. Keith Melrose, I'm going to come to you first. Just quickly, how was your Cheltenham and who wins this?
Yeah, not a bad Cheltenham. Probably got a few nice results in races I wasn't necessarily expecting. I took Absurd way under the prices, and that's sort of symptomatic of my week as a whole, really. But you know, can't complain, and it's, you know, I was there for my first Gold Cup actually on the Friday. I've never been to the Gold Cup day before. That was, it was a good one to be there for. It was a fun weekend, and it's just amazing how I'm already back to doing the sprinters on the flat again. these aren't sprinters, but we've got the cabbage coming up later on in the card. Thought the favourites were the wrong way around here. I thought that Charin is a good horse that should probably be favourite ahead of Knight here. The ran against each other last time, certainly last time we saw Charin at Goodwood there in August. They were both behind Angel Blur. And Charin, he missed the break. He had to come all the way around the field, away from the rail, and he led well into the last fight, the furlong, before he just got tired late in the day. And I just don't see why he shouldn't be favourite ahead of Knight here. He's obviously got that good form thirds in the St James's Palace, looking back. And lots of form on soft ground. I don't know when we're going to discuss the ground, but I'm anticipating it being very testing here, and I'm looking for soft ground horses all the way through this card. So I thought Charin, obviously, has some form on soft ground as well, but Charin's got a big bank of it, and I thought he was the one.
Okay, Charin for Keith Melrose and SDS. Sylvester D'Souza taking the ride there. I'm sure he's going to be making another bid for the champion jockey title on the flat here again this season. Brett, I'll come to you. The Doncaster Mile Stakes, who wins it?
Don't know. I agree with Keith. A lot of the points about Charin. Funny enough, if you actually think that Sylvester D'Souza can win the championship this year, or regain his crown, with 40-1, William Buick, obviously, odds on. But yeah, it's obviously a long, long way, a lot of water under the bridge between them now and then. But yeah, no, Charin is obviously the horse that sets the standard on, I think, form we've seen so far. I think it's £3 well and on the weight as well with Knight. My only concern for Roger Verenstrom is the fact that will he really handle these very, very testing conditions? We know that Knight does. As I said, it's got some top class form to his own name as well. The visors just might sort of, not that he needs to improve much, but they might just sort of shart him up first time out on this sort of ground. And then you've got Holloway Boy, of course, who's in there, who's a Cheshire winner. Carrying a lot less weight this time than when we last saw him in the Jersey, of course, because he's being gelded, so that might help him as well. He's an interesting contender, but no, I think realistically, on the ground, you've got to go with Knight, but I do think that Charin is probably the best horse in the race.
Okay, yeah, Charin may be the best horse in the race. Johnny Pearson, agreement with the gents here?
Keith said pretty much everything I was going to say. You know, he'd missed the break, travelled on his own, and got, you know, having to make his move earlier than ideal to get to the front. Didn't have much left in the final furlong in the race at Goodwood Lot when he was last seen. And I think he should probably, you know, if it broke at the same time and had the same rides, I think Charin would have been the winner that day, and I think he should be the favourite here.
Okay, Charon, 11-4 currently with Unibet at the time of recording, a fair price for the gents there. Let's move on then to the 150, which is the Brockleby Stakes over 5 furlongs. This is for the two-year-olds. Matt Gardner, our two-year-old handicapper, must be licking his lips hearing the word Brocklesby in 2024. But this is going to be a really, really tough one because, well, we don't know too much about these runners bar the prices they were at the sales. Johnny Pearson, you've been saying, how do I find the Brocklesby winner on the postcards this week? But how have you found it?
I mean, before declarations, I was looking to the one that won in Ireland on Monday, but that one wasn't declared. So, as with anyone, you're sort of just taking anyone's word for it. Obviously, the AMO horse won on Monday, has gone in at favourite. Is it any good? No one really knows. Well, someone does, but they've had more expensive ones entered in the race before declarations, so I wouldn't be saying it's their best one they've got. So, it's not something I'm going to be entertaining a bet in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are going to be using this as a watching brief, including Brett Williams, unless Brett Williams has got a strong feeling on this race.
Not really. I just try and look at the reading and see if it might have some sort of, positive on the ground. I know the favourite there, Mystical Elegance, is a half-sitter to a horse called Gypsy Spirit, who won on its debut at Windsor and ends up being rated 97. So that's not bad form. And then Atherstone Warrior, who I think is quite an interesting runner here for Ali Sains and Kieran O'Neill. The dam in this hollow green, she won 8 of her 40 races and she did love soft and heavy ground. So again, you can make a case for Atherstone Warrior, but I think as we approach the race time, it's probably best to see which horses are being supported and which ones haven't. I mean, I was used to seeing this race, it was always Bill Turner, wasn't it? Always go with each other horse he trained. He's got Bob the Bandit 40-1, so maybe go with that one.
Take a chance. Yeah, look, Mystical Elegance currently the 2-1 favourite of Unibet currently. There are plenty at bigger prices in here. Keith Melrose, who have you landed on in the Brocklesby?
At first I was sitting here thinking there's no danger I'm going to tip. And to be honest, I'm not going to bet in it, but I just wanted to maybe give a little steer. This is the first of the big field straight course races on the card today. And we've talked about the ground earlier. This is Thursday we're recording this. The going stick reading is deeper. It's 4.9 compared to 5.1 last year. And last year, I cannot get that Cavendish Trophy out of my head, where these sprinters finished at margins that made you thinking you were watching the Welsh National. It really was deep. The last time we were here was for the Grimthorpe cards. Usually the Grimthorpe seen as a spring race trial for the National, the Bet365 Gold Cup, the Scottish National, and we had two finishers with mud covering them top to bottom. The ground is going to be pretty deep here, so you're wanting a two-year-old that's maybe got either a soft ground pedigree or something else. But the other thing you're going to be looking at is last year the ground conditions were like this, and a lot of the action in these big field straight course races was on towards the near side. 11 from 16, 15 from 22, and 12 from 22 were the winners of those races, and 9 of the 12 that finished in the first four positions in those races had been drawn in double figure stalls. So I'll be erring towards soft ground horses and horses with a slightly higher draw. And the one in the Brocklesby, as I say, I won't necessarily be tipping or backing it, but Atherstone Warrior met those two conditions pretty well. Alice Haynes quite good at getting one out, getting a two-year-old out. We've seen that in the last couple of seasons, and fitted the bill more than most. But I'm in no rush to have a bet unless the market really speaks in favour of a horse that fits those criteria.
Okay, yeah, look, none of us are really in a rush to have a bet, but there were two mentions there for Atherstone Warrior, so do look out for that horse there. Let's move on then to the first big handicap that we're going to, the 225 at Doncaster, which is the Spring Mile Handicap, a Class 2 event over a mile. And Titian is currently topping the market at 6-1 with Unibet, along with Harswell Duke, joint favourites here. Helter Skelter 15-2, Arthur's Realm 17-2, Look Back Smiling 9-1, then we're looking at double figures. The rest of the field, and Brett Williams, I'd love to have some offers on this race. What have you got for me?
Well, your wish is my command, yeah. We are paying 6 places each way in the Spring Mile. And also, if you back the second or the third, money back as cash, money back offer and 6 places each way in the Spring Mile, which I've sort of written my notes lottery. And then I sort of look further down the line, well, actually, perhaps it's not quite as open as you think. Obviously, you've got last year's winner, Arthur's Ram, who's, I think, a pound high in 12 months ago and seems to run well at this time of year. I think Ross O'Ryan, who was on board last year, obviously a very positive jockey booking. But I think a slightly bigger price, around 8-9-1. Helter Skelter for Rebecca Menzies and Ali Rawlinson in the colours of the horse watchers, of course. Very unexposed. Only having its 5th race course start. Placed on heavy and soft ground. had a nice warm-up at Wolverhampton last time, so that should have blown the cobwebs away. And makes his handicap debut here today off a mark of 74. Just think could be quite interesting. You know how shrewd that those horse watchers are. Oh, so yeah. I'll be watching if there's any support. But how to Skelter for me in what's, you know, a typically wide open spring trophy.
Okay, Helter Skelter for Brett. Yeah, six places there and money back if second or third. Do check out unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions there. Keith Melrose, a big handicap on the flat. The first one we have this season. Pick out the winner for me.
Well, I would have been going for Helter Skelter too if that draw had been kinder. You know, it's another big feel for the spring mile. We thought we would be worrying about these consolation races filling. And before we get a little bit too self-congratulatory about this field filling up again for the spring mile, or not filling, but, you know, 18, I think we're going to post for this. The last time the ceiling for this race was so low. Usually everything rated from the mid-90s down is running in the spring mile rather than the Lincoln. This year, your top weight's 84, I think even in 2022, when you only had eight runners, the top weight was still higher than the top weight is in this year's spring mile. And I think that's part of the reason horse watchers have entered Helter Skelter. They know you're getting horses like this into the spring mile now, and it's still a very valuable race, even though it's a consolation for the Lincoln. You know, they've bought him out of the sort of yard where you can improve horses from. He's got form in that deep ground. I can definitely see the case, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they've decided this is a bit of an early season target. And certainly a few spring handicaps would have been the target while the ground's still getting that bit firmer when we're coming out of winter. As it is, I am just erring towards the draw thing again. You know, we've got soft ground and I'm expecting to see a bit more of the action on the near side. And when that considered, I just thought Titian was a really, really solid one. Second, beating a wreck in this race last year off a similar sort of mark now. And since then, been running him some really good handicaps. You know, he got placed in the Red Car Mile final there. He's been running in Class 3s and Class 2s all the way through last season. You know, and this is a 0-85 in effect, a competitive one nonetheless, but still a 0-85 really when you look at the figures involved. And, you know, there's no prizes for finding him at the prices you're getting here, but, you know, with six places, you're probably a bit of a gift as long as you're right on that side of the draw. I love betting each way in these flat handicaps more than the jumps handicaps, because if you get the side right, you're immediately, you know, you can barely be out of the places with these enhanced place terms. So an each way bet on Titian was the one in this one, but yeah, I mean, handicapping wise, Helter Skelter is very interesting.
Okay, yeah, Julie Comatras horse for Keith Melrose then, and Johnny Pearson, the spring mile for you.
I mean, the draw is obviously a slight concern, but I'd like look back smiling for Gemma Tatu. One last time I'd seen in Doncaster and on heavy ground. Okay, it's slight step up in trip, but he gets the mile just fine, so I'm not too concerned there. And Gemma Tatu's form's really quite good at the moment. You know, she's already two winners from the last seven runners, and of those seven, on top of that, three of them have been in the places. So there's, you know, actually horses are clearly thriving at the moment. And one of the reasons I'm not as concerned with the draw in this race is quite a few of the horses that, you know, we've Helter Skelter's in there, Thunder Roar's in there as well. You know, there's a few well-fancied ones on the lower side of things, which could actually, and it's, you know, it's, okay, the ground might differ a bit, but it's more where the pace is rather than where the than you're not necessarily advantaged by a draw. If all the horses that are going forwards are on one side, you want to be, if you're held up on that side, you'd be in advantage of it. So it's not necessarily as black and white as low or high. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think at 10-1, he's overpriced on the trainer's form and what he did when last seen him, putting in probably a career best performance, and an each way price of 10-1, I can't turn that down.
Okay, look back smiling, Brandon Wilkie taking the ride as well, £5 claimer, really talented £5 claimer, could go well in the spring mile for Johnny Pearson. The 3 o'clock then is the Camage Trophy Stakes. This is a listed contest over 6 furlongs. This is where the sprinters come into play for Keith Melrose. But the betting currently looks like this. Baradar 9-4. Marshman 3-1. Montesib 7-2. Orazio 7-2. Sophia's Starlight is 11-1. A Day in Devon is 14-1. And Glorious Angel is 100-1. Come on then, Keith. Who wins this?
I spent a lot of time on this race because it is the first sprint. And you're always going to spend a long time on the first. And, you know, it's... I look at down the race and I thought, is Baradar going to be fast enough for a pure six? Now, he might get away with it today with the conditions being as testing as they are. Marshman, I spent a long time thinking I was going to put a Marshman But he is he going to get home over a really stiff six? I think he's the best horse in the race, possibly. But I would just have that doubt if he gets so strung out that he might be found out a little bit come the finish. And Arazio is a horse that we spent a lot of time putting him up last year, but he's still not cashed those checks he's promising, has he? Is he? So I don't think his price is a little bit based on reputation still. So ended up coming down to Montesip, who you could have put down as in the same category as Bardar a little bit, but just a really unexposed sprinter. They spent, you know, he's got a lot of good soft ground form. In fact, he's won his two runs on soft. He got well beat on his only run on heavy, but that was in last year's Lincoln, yeah, when he got Mullard up the rail, and it was a mile race, and he's not a miler. They only found out in the autumn that he was a sprinter, really, and sort of exceeded Excel. How did it take you so long? But, you know, he finished fifth in the Ergo Cup and then beat the Ergo Cup winner at York the following time, really strong at the finish. So a horse that's still unexposed at the trip, he's got not an awful lot to find on form, really. In fact, he might even be topping RPRs on that York run. It won't be far off, anyway. And, yeah, just a lot going on in his favour. The stiff six is clearly not going to be an issue because he's got loads of form at stiff sixes and sevens. And I thought he was the one that had, in a race where, you know, again, I'm maybe scarred a little bit by seeing how far they got strung out in the race last year, but might take a bit of getting. It's going to take a horse that handles deep grounds, and he matches both, and I think he maybe should be a bit shorter.
Hey, Monsib, yeah, like he was 19th of 22 in last year's Lincoln, but he wasn't, he's definitely not a miler, and could be a, he could definitely be a sprinter on the up here. He's around 7-2 with Unibet currently. Johnny Pearson, for you then in the Camage?
I think Marshman has spent a lot of time thinking who's going to put it all together last year, and it didn't quite happen after he won in France first time out, I think it was. And I think he's got a big race in him this season, but I'm not sure whether Saturday is going to be the day. And I thought Glorious Angel, well, I don't think Glorious Angel is going to win the race, but I think 100-1 is underestimating his chances here. He's had a run this season. He's got good form on soft and heavy ground multiple times last season. He's come down the handicap, but obviously that's, it's not a handicap, so he's going to be fine a bit. But I think, you know, I think 100-1 is probably overpricing him. But I'm not going to be having a bet myself in the race.
Okay, no bet in the race, but 100-1 shot mentioned there. We don't often get too many of them on the podcast here. And Brett Williams, the sun is shining down on you. The spotlight is on you for the 3 o'clock. Who wins it?
I didn't really want a spotlight on me, that's for sure. No, I agree with that, really. I mean, Baradar is probably one of the best horses in the race, but where the six is just a bit mad. And then you've got Marshman, who, again, this will quite stay this distance. Got a tongue-tom for the very first time. I think it was only beaten 5.5 lengths or so behind Bradsall in the King's Stand. That's obviously rock-solid form. Baradar, we know, handles the course while having won twice at Donny. Montesib, again, another one I agree with everything that Kim said about that horse, but just from a money point of view, we have seen a lot of support for the four horse here, Arazio for Charlie Hills and Jim Crayley. This horse probably doesn't want it that soft, but has got a win on softest sort of ground. This is definitely his trip in a race where, as I said, there just are a few question marks surrounding certainly the top two in the betting anyway, Baradar and Marshman. But no, I think Arazio could be quite interesting if you take out the top two. And as I said, we have seen support for him as well.
Okay, so money's come for Arazio then in the Camage. Let's move on to the 3:35, the final race we look at from Doncaster. It is the Lincoln. It's class 2 handicap over a mile, where Liberty Lane is topping the market at 4-1. A Wow is 9-2. Chasmy is 5-1. Latam is 9-1. Johan is 10-1. Gatekeeper 10-1. Migration is 12s. And looking at bigger about the rest of the field here. Here we go, the Lincoln handicap. Brett Williams, 6 places?
Yep, 6 places each way, which is really a good job because it does make it a little bit easier if you're punting in this race. And speaking of punting, I mean, Chasmé was absolutely smashed in the betting before winning the Irish Lincolnshire on Monday into 11-4 from 6-1. And then since that success earlier on in the week, we've just seen sustained support come in for the Irish Raider. As you said, almost joint favourite now with Liberty Lane. Got a £5 penalty. You know, I watched the race again just before we came on, and I think he actually showed quite a good turn of foot, travelled really, really well, picked up nicely. And it's rare that you see horses do that on heavy ground, and, you know, could potentially be well in here today. And I will be very surprised if are we Chasmé or Chasesme? I don't know where we're going.
Chasesme?
Well, the commentator was Chaz Enne, and then Gary O'Brien was Chaz Esme. So who'd you go with? Anyway, I'll be surprised if it doesn't go off favourite. A couple of throwing to the Knicks, obviously last year's winner, Johan, a little bit higher in the weights on this occasion, but did at least back up his win in this last year by scoring at Glorious Goober, to prove that wasn't a fluke. And at a much bigger price, I'm really keen on Parlando. I'm not quite sure that he's really going to like the soft ground conditions here, but I saw him riding out this week at Ian Williams. He looks an absolute picture. He's been out in Bahrain. He won a real valuable prize over there. He's very well bred, out of a mare called Discourse. He was a decent mare for Godolphin. I know this race has been the plan. Again, the ground is just going to be a bit of a concern for me, but he's got a good claimer on board and looks well. And we often see these horses come over from the Middle East. First time out is the time to catch them when they come over to the UK. And as I said, I'm not saying he's going to win, but at 40-1 off a mark of 86, I think he could be quite interesting each way.
Okay, Ian Williams, runner Parlando, big price according to Brett Williams. Johnny Pearson, you can tell us a little bit about the Irish Raider.
Well, he hadn't been seen for the best part of the year, and then turns up and wins incredibly easily on Monday. And you know, I've read reports that said he had a bruised foot and then couldn't get him out or something in time, which sounds a bit suspect. I'm quite cynical and think there's probably a bit more to it as the reason he wasn't running. But I think you know he's going to have a good chance, but I'd be very concerned about the fact that he raced on Monday on heavy ground. That's still going to be something out of a horse that hasn't run for 6 months or whatever it is, and then coming out 5 days later, it's not a horse I'd be wanting to back myself on that basis. But you know, it'd be no surprise to see him run a good race. And I think the last two winners, Johan and Migration, should both have decent chances. We know they're both going the ground without too many problems, and they're both drawn in reasonable positions, higher than 10, which is sort of, if you look through the trends of the last decade, you're in a better position than many at that point. But I think they should, you know, they've both got a very good chance of placing, as would Awal, who's running off the same mark as he was second off last year behind Migration. I think all three of those are probably going to run good races again.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I say, you've got the winner from last year, you've got the second from last year, and you've got the previous year, prior year to that's winner, Johan, and Johan and Migration are next door to each other in 11 and 12. I'll definitely, Keith, be having Migration my trifecta on the day, no doubt about it. We know he's probably going to like the ground. And back down to a workable mark, Paddy Bradley taking off £3. No, Benoit de la Saye took three off last year. He's pretty rock solid, but there are plenty in here who could take him on.
Well, there are, and there's, you know, it's exactly as competitive a race as you'd think, and your only way in whittling it down is to look at that form in deep ground and to look at form sometimes in these big field handicaps too, as well as being, as far as the draw might have been kind or might not, and as Johnny says, it can rely on many things, but you're putting yourself 60-40 in your favour by going a little bit higher in this race, and that's what sort of got me onto the gatekeeper. He did get the best of the draw when he won the Balmoral, to be fair, but he won that pretty well for a horse that's only gone up £4, considering how competitive a race that was. And, you know, he did a lot of the hard yards in that race. You don't often see horses making as much of the running as he did on deep ground at Ascot, and he did. And you can maybe see it was starting to pay on him at the end. There could be a lot more to come from this horse this year. You know, he was progressive through the end of last year. He was second in the Golden Mile at Goodwood, and then won back at Goodwood on soft ground again, and then all of a sudden he's you know, improved again to win that Balmoral. Easy enough to argue that he's a horse on the up, and anything double figures about him makes a lot of sense as a price to me as a bet. And there was one I just put in a very fleeting mention for. This was a little bit smarter when this horse was 100-1 2 hours ago, but he's into about 50s now. A horse that's got loads of form in deep ground and is drawn on what might be the right side was a horse called Spirit Genie, who is just a completely different horse on softer ground. Only had four runs for the Jenny Candlish yard. Two of them were on the all-weather. Last time they said it didn't suit him. And in between, you know, one of them was a setter, but it was an exercise gallop for him. Another time he ran behind Dashing Roger, having looked like he didn't really handle the dip at Newmarket. He went a little bit flat-footed as he went into the dip, and as soon as he hit the rising ground, he just absolutely flew home and passed about three in the last furlong. This looks like a horse that might have a little bit more to give, and he's not going to... I wouldn't be backing him if I wasn't getting six places, to be fair, but when you're getting all those extra places and you've got a horse that might be on the outside and has all that form and the conditions, sort of horse that if I'm doing a... a dirty sort of each way multiple or something on Saturday with all these enhanced places. He's a horse, sort of horse I'll throw in one of those.
Okay, here we go. Spirit Genie drawn in 22 then, cutting around 50-1. And also the Gatekeeper being the main selection for Keith Murray's in 17. Just looking at the last past winners, drawn in 12, Migration last year. Johan was in a low draw of 4. Winner prior to that, Kiki was in 10. He then had 17, 10, 20, 22, 15 and 3. So in the last 10 years, only two winners have come in any draw under 10. So it is favoured to be on the higher side of the Lincoln according to the stats. But you never know in a race like this, especially on the ground that we'll be getting on Saturday. So that is it. That is the first preview of the flat turf season, flat turf card that we'll be doing. But we'll be looking at a jumps card shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet. You're on.
Welcome back to the second part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Keith Marrows, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams taking you through the weekend action. We move to Newbury now, back to the National Hunt action. 3 races on the ITV card from there, and we start off with the 210, which is a novice's handicap hurdle over 2 mile, 3 furlongs, where Into the Park is currently top of the market at Unibet around 5-2. Spirits Bay is 9-2. ID Wood, 11-2. Cartoon and Co. is 15-2. 135 Not Out is 17-2. I Love My Bay is 10-1. Pretending 10-1. And we're looking at around 16-1. Break My Soul. Brett Williams, I'll come to you first on this because I know you're quite keen on one.
Yeah, well, I should also just say, Sam, this is one of our price boost races as well. So go onto our website and see which horse we will be boosting. Leave you the favourite or the second favourite. As you said, Into the Park is favourite at the minute. And real well back market leader as well. Was 15-2. That's gone now into around 11-4. Also, Spirits Bay for the Twiston Davis camp, second best in there, at around 5-1 from 8s, off the back of a nice couple of sequence of wins on heavy ground. This is obviously a big step up and has got a career high rating to defy, but could be anything. I've narrowed it down to a couple here. I like the Good Doctor in those very familiar silks of Old Anita, of course. Stepping up in trip, light soft ground. Makes his handicap debut here off 1-2-5 for the bang in form yard of Ben Porter. But the horse I think is most likely to win this is Cartoon and Co, who I was at a preview evening with Dan Scout, and just obviously before the festival. And this horse is running a Sandown on Imperial Cup Day. And he said this horse was very, very well handicapped off 109. It subsequently got beaten, wasn't beaten too far. He probably wasn't positioned in the best of places. Robbie Dunn got sort of out in front on the winner and just did this horse for a little bit of tug. He has been put up another £3, which is a little bit of a concern. You don't like to see horses get put up for being beaten. But he could still be ahead of the handicapper off 112. He's stepping up in trip, which will definitely suit him. Certainly what we saw at Sandown. And I've seen the house just been steady support come in for Cartoon and Co. And nothing, just to point out, I'm not sure why it's a non-runner, but Home Free was the other runner, which has been pulled out. And I'm not sure it's a vet certificate or what it is, but interesting.
Yeah, Brutal, I think.
Yeah, possibly grand, but that's quite convenient, isn't it?
There we go. So Cartoon Co, yeah, looks like a market mover to me. Looking at the market around 16s into what we're looking at around 15-2. So yeah, a lot of market support there. Keith Melrose, to you next. We've gone from talking about draws to talking about hurdles. So who do you like in this one?
I've came down on Cartoon and Co as well. He was 12s when I looked a couple of hours ago, and that's kept coming. It's going to be a lot of fun watching the last few weeks of the jump season. We've got a trainer's title scrap for the first time in a while, and the first one that involves Dan Skelton. And I'm old enough to remember the Nichols and Pipe days when they were the last two really going at it week to week, and you were seeing a lot of horses very often and a lot of aggressive and novel campaigning, which I always like to see. And obviously Cartoon and Co's a juvenile 4-year-old stepping into open age but novice company. He's up against a lot of these sort of point types, these slow burning types that maybe weren't seen as quite good enough for that EBF final on Imperial Cup Day a couple of weeks ago, but are now seen as worth a go here before they maybe go over fences next year. Whereas Cartoon & Co is a juvenile. He was out in juvenile hurdles in the autumn. And, you know, yes, as Brett said about his run at Sandown, got a bit, looked like he was ready for a step up and trip a bit that day. He also, it was very soft ground at Sandown, and he has got form on a lot quicker ground than this too. And I think the ground here in Newbury, he's not going to be certainly as testing as we're thinking of. It will be relatively at Doncaster. And I thought Cartoon & Co, he certainly didn't deserve to be a double figure price. He anything at high single figures too is probably value in a race where he's up against a lot of fairly backward types that have got promise mostly for next season.
Yeah, those double figure price about Cartoon & Co have certainly gone. I think the Brett Williams money is down 15-2 currently. It could be a big price.
It's a price now.
Could be a big price hat trick here, Johnny Pearson. Do you like Cartoon & Co as well?
I do also like Cartoon & Co, but I'm a little bit put off 9th of March and very testing ground at Sandown. Being only a 4-year-old against older horses, I think that could be prove to be quite challenging by the end of it. You know, they're still growing, developing, and maybe not as strong as they could catch him out late on. But I do think he should have a really good chance to be, you know, near the head of the market. The other one would be Pretending for Lucy Wadham and Bryony Frost. She's been running very well, you know, and Upton trip last time to 3 miles. I don't think she quite got home. I think dropping down and trip again on Saturday, I think she should have a very, very good chance, and I expect to be there turning for home and giving it a real good shot to the line. I think 12-1 is massively overpricing her.
Okay, Pretending one to be mentioned, but Cartoon and Co, a popular selection with the panel this week. Let's move on to the 240 then. The handicap chase there on the card over 2.5 miles, where Heltenham is the 7-4 favourite. Eton Kalina is 4-1. Gunsight Ridge 9-2. Solo is 11-2. Galahad Quest is 15-2. Gustavian 9-1. And Sir Psycho is 10-1. Johnny Pearson, you can kick this one off. Is Heltenham a good favourite?
Probably. You know, I decided I didn't really like the race when I was going through it. As far as I can tell, most of the horses in here like to be pretty prominent on make the running. Heltenham doesn't want to do that, and the race could completely set up for him. And Gustavian, I think, has got very good form, but he's not going to get his way on the front of things. And there's a good chance he'll end up just not quite seeing it out again for all he is below his last winning mark. And yeah, it's not a race I want to get involved with in Heltenham at 2-1, and there's the number I'd like to play each way at prices, but not when there's on paper so much pace in the race and a few of them might just burn themselves out.
Okay, Keith Melrose to you next then. Who do you like?
In principle, not that far off of Johnny. Heltenham is quite a solid type at the top of the betting, but he alludes to like a few bigger prices you may be thinking about playing, and I'm looking at this race thinking, for the same sort of proportion of the market as Heltenham's getting at 7-4, you could get Solo and Sir Psycho and Gustavian on your side. Eton Kalina is very likeable, but he's gone up £12 for those two wins. Still think Gunsight Ridge might be a bit of a soft 2-miler, really, as much as anything else. And Galahad Quest yet to really catch light so far this season. So you've not got an awful lot besides Heltenham running against you if you're taking those three horses. They're all horses that have got something to recommend them in this race. Sir Psycho hit 4 out and 3 out and 2 out in that Greatwood Gold Cup and shaped pretty well besides that. Gustavian ran third in that race, and this is not as competitive as that, and he gets a pool that pretty much pulls him level with Heltenham. But Solo, if I had to come down on one, it would, I think, be Solo. He's got loads and loads of good form. He was obviously second in the Halden Gold Cup at Exeter in November there. He was trying to give £10 once you allow for Freddy Gingell's £7 claim to Elixir de Nuts that day, who's now obviously won a grade one, and now Solo gets the benefit of Freddie Gingell's £5 claim, which we know to be more or less free. He's not run since just before Christmas at Ascot, and his record fresh after over fences is really quite good. He pulled up in the Oaksy Chase behind Hewitt last year, but that's the second time he's bombed on that last day of the season card at Sandown. But apart from that, when he's come back from breaks over fences, he's been beaten a nose by Nasser Lamb. He's beaten Gitmaker. He's beaten That's All Right Gino. And he's had that second behind Elixir de Nuts. So obviously a horse that does go pretty well after a break. Not run since December. And he's dropping in class here. So I think he's got a right chance in this company. But I might play 2 or 3 against Heltenham rather than 1. But if you're looking for a selection, it's Solo for me.
Yeah, I thought Solo was a fairly big price here. Brett, is there any agreement there?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Keith has said. Obviously, Freddie Gingell's £5 claim is a steal. He's the best horse in the race. I think the fact he hasn't run since Christmas is a big plus as well. And again, this is, you know, step back into handicap company. I'd like to have seen Excella run a little bit better in his subsequent two starts. Of course, you beat him at Ascot, but, you know, Nicky's horse has obviously been out of form, so you could perhaps ignore that. You know, you're looking at how he's got a £6 rise for, you know, a decisive enough success in the Great Wood Gold Cup. He is, you know, on all-known form, the one they've got to catch. But, you know, if you take him out of it, it really is wide open. And I think that Solo is the one you'd probably like to be on. Gunsight Ridge is a bit of an enigma. He's a little bit in and out. He's not the most consistent. I think he's had five starts over this trip. He's yet to win over 2.5. So is he going to all of a sudden sort of break that duck today or this weekend? I'm not entirely convinced, which, again, just keeps bringing you back to Solo and the fact they're claiming from him. So, yeah, Solo for me.
Okay, another vote for Solon, the 2.40 at Newbury. Let's move on then to the final race we cover on this week's show, the 3.15 at Newbury, which is a mare's novices hurdle at just over 2.5 miles. Grade 2 limited handicap, where El Elefante is 9-2 along with Party Vibe. I'm hoping I said that right. Larchment Lass is 6-1. Smiling Getaway is 7-1. Ooh Betty is 10-1. K Tara Tara is 11-1. Alfie's Prince is 12-1. 14-1. Are these a competitive mare's novices hurdle, Brett Williams? Who are you with?
We're paying five places each way, so that's the good news. That's the business done and out of the way. I'm really keen here on Alpha's Princess. I thought she ran very well behind Django Blue, or Jingo Blue, whatever it was called, the Henderson horse at Sandown. Of course, he subsequently ran at Cheltenham, but obviously we know they were out of form. She put up a good effort when she finishes behind Titan Discovery, giving him £9. That horse then went out and won after that and finished second at Kempton. That's very strong form. In fact, 1, 3, 5, not 8 runs on the card as well. Subsequently well behind her at Sandown. So that's pretty strong form. She wasn't beaten far behind Al Elefante at Haydock, and she's much better off at the weight on really keen on Alfie's Princess. I know they're dying to step up in trip. She's a proper stare. She'll love the ground, whether it's soft or heavy or good to soft. I think you can make a really good case for her and Alfie's Princess. My only slight concern, if you were asking me 2 days ago, would be the form of Sam Thomas's yard, but he did have a winner yesterday, so that's another tick in the box for me. And I just think the fact that Al Elefante is the favourite, Alfie's Princess is, I think, £3 better off this time. That's enough to swing it for me, and I think decent. I'm not saying she's. I think she's going to go very close. I think she's a good price at 12-1. I will definitely be back in there each way.
Okay, yeah, with those extra places, five places, 12-1. Alfie's Princess for Brett Williams. Keith Melrose, to you next. Who'd you like in this?
I went with El Elefante. I just like the form from Cheltenham in October when she was behind in Canto Bruno. It's a couple of runs since have been on deep ground. Her good half brother saved his best for when he was not racing in the mud, and she's by Old Man River, hardly showing much sign of being a proper jump soft ground sire. So I like her back on a sort of little bit livelier ground. You know, she landed cramped odds at Ayr on good to soft, and her previous wins, Perth's always soft ground because Perth's just always called soft ground. You often get quite, I think Paul Carvey almost called it summer soft. I don't understand quite what that means, but I take the drift. That it's not quite as testing as the slop you're getting at Haydock in December. So get her back away from that slop, given her pedigree and all that sort of stuff. And looking at that form at Cheltenham, and the way she just seems to be regarded, the SP should go off, the way that Lucinda Russell Yard campaigner gives vibes of a better than a 122 horse. So I think she deserves to be right at the head of the bet.
Okay, El Elefante for Keith Melrose, and to you, Johnny Pearson, to finish us off for this week's show.
With the five places, I'm going to take a chance on All the Glory for John Joe Neal and John Joe Neal Jr. I think, you know, she's been running pretty well. I think her form at Plumpton behind Shannig Bob, the Nicky Henderson and Donnelly horses is very rock solid form. She wouldn't have been that at home on the softer ground at Ludlow last time, and the better ground I think will bring improvement. There's question marks as to whether she'd necessarily quite as go through with it all the time, but I think at 20-1 she's massively overpriced on her best form here, and I think she'll run a very big race.
There we go. Yeah, definitely worth taking the bigger prices with those extra places in the 3.15 at Newbury. So there we go, there's the selections for the ITV races. We're going to be back shortly after this with our other selections as well as our weekend naps. So here we are for the final part of the racing postcast. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Keith Melrose and Brett Williams here to now give you our other selections this weekend. Brett, just quickly, is there anything else from you or is there any offers that you want to give a mention to?
As I said, go onto the website because you've got lots of price boost races, lots of extra places as well. So go on to unibet.co.uk /enclosure and you'll get all of the best offers. But yeah, there's a race at Bangor, I think it's 2:15, isn't it? And which is also live on ITV. Mm-hmm. I'm quite keen on Uncle Bert here. He was very impressive at Weatherby last time. He has got quite a high, I think he went about £6 for it, but he went a fair few quid. But he if the ground's soft there, which is like to be, it usually is at Bangor. A lovely son of Heather's Moon. I think he could go well, Uncle Bert, in the 2:15 at Bangor.
Okay, Uncle Bert and that race at Bangor on ITV around 7-2 of Unibet. Keith Melrose to you next. Is there anything else this weekend that you want to focus on?
There's the Veterans Chase at Newbury, the 5:00. They're all because you know these horses, and my bet in the race will probably be price dependent. And as we record this, we've not got prices for that race. I mean, 99% of my bets are price dependent, but very much got by on whether Ashton Ladd's run of peas gets factored too much into his price. He's been in much better races, and his jumping's not been that good for all. He's a Beecher winner. Another one is, I wonder how much they'll mark down Certainly Red for that run at Doncaster in the ground, I thought we talked about. For me, he's been shaping like a horse that's going to run a nice race in one of those fast ground late season marathons, and he's getting a run against veterans instead on ground that's not going to be as deep as it certainly was at Doncaster. So if I'm looking for a nice price about either of those two, I will probably get involved. But as I say, it's a race that's competitive enough that I'm not just going to go, oh, that wins. So I'm going to, it's price dependent, but I've got my eye on those two in the 5:00 at Newbury.
Okay, from a man who may be having a couple of bets in a veterans chase in the 5:00 at Newbury to a man who really doesn't like having bets in veterans chases at all. Johnny Pearson, is there anything else this weekend that we should have our eyes on?
There's a few bits. I mean, we are going to steer clear of the veterans chase this weekend. It's a rarity that we get involved in them. It'll be interesting to see what wins the bumper at Newbury in the 350. There's a lot of very lightly or not raced tour horses in there. It normally lends itself to a halfway decent winner, so I'd be keeping an eye on that with a view to the future. And to make things, everyone's favourite jockey Ryan Moore is taking a trip down to Australia, and he's on Storm Boy in the 5:40 a.m. on Saturday, in the Golden Slipper. And he's 4 from 4. I'd expect him to win the race, and he's probably going to be a short price. And but he's, you know, it's interesting. Coolmore sold him for $450,000 and bought him back this at the start of the year for a reported $50 million, which is 110 times what they initially sold him for, which is obviously a really good business plan they've had with that one. But and then in terms of actually punting in the 3:58 at Navan, I don't know what price this is going to be, and I've got a horrible feeling this is going to end up odds on, but it's the horse called 203 for Gordon Elliott, I think. I'm not sure.
Gordon Elliott, yeah.
And I think he won really well last time out, and I think he could be a really, really nice horse going forward. And if he's not too short, odds on price, I probably will be having a bet there. And at Nace on Sunday, there's a lot of nicely entered horses for the flat for the season to come. There's, you know, lots of nice Aidan O'Brien, Blue Bloods and all the rest of it, and definitely wants more to keep an eye on for the rest of the season once again.
Well, that's it. Look, there's so many horses this week, especially on the flat, that you'd just be keeping an eye on this weekend ahead of some bigger targets later down the line, so keep your eyes on some smart ones. And these on Sunday. Right, time for the weekend naps then. The best bets for the weekend from the panel, and Brett Williams, you're going to kick us off.
Okay, let's start with Cartoon and Co. then in the 2:10 at Newbury. I think the step up and trip will definitely suit him. I think he can defy a £3 rise in the weight. He could still be ahead of the handicapper, and the scouting team, as we know, are in flying form. So Cartoon and Co. in the 2:10 at Newbury for me.
Okay, Cartoon and Co. in the 2:10 at Newbury for Brett. Keith Melrose to you.
Yeah, this might look a little bit silly when we get nearer racing, and if he's reached his real price of 7-4 or so, but at the moment I can get 11-4 about Sharon, and that's wrong, so he's the nap in the 1:20 at Donny.
Okay, yeah, 11-4, fair price about Charin in the opening race there at Doncaster on Saturday. I'm going to go for one, I'll take the chance. I'm going to go for one in the Lincoln, make a quick case, and it will be Vetiver for the Andrew Boarding Yard. David Probert taking a ride for the Cheveley Park Silks here. And this horse here was actually fifth behind Keith's selection in the race, the Gatekeeper in the Balmoral Handicap. But prior to that, was third behind Matilda Picot in a really good race, a Group 3 filly stakes at Doncaster, but probably one of the more unexposed types in the field. I think this four-year-old could take a massive step forward this season, still running off a mark of 98. I've got a feeling with this horse, well, at Beverly last season, ran well, really well fresh, actually winning by 5-plus lengths. So I wouldn't mind that at all. I think this horse has a right chance. The Andrew Borden's horses are going fairly well. So I'm going to take a chance at around about, I think around 14, 16 to 1, Vetiver for me in the Lincoln. And Johnny Pearson, to you for your nap.
Okay, with Look Back Smiling for Gemma Tatti in the 225, the Spring Mile Handicap. I think, as I said, I think the horse will have a massive chance at 10 to 1, overpriced.
Okay, yeah, some decent prices there for our naps this week, and they will be boosted at the time of upload of this video and podcast, so you can check that out on unibet.co.uk, but the price of all our naps that are on screen now will be boosted. I've got about 4 minutes left to find out what the gents are up to this weekend. Keith Melrose, what are the plans this weekend for you?
Maybe I shouldn't tell people in case anybody knows where I live, but we're off on holiday.
Ah, right, well, that's fine. All right, so you're off on holiday. Anywhere nice?
Yeah, we're driving all the way down to the Alps. You don't look forward to getting the journey, but you look forward to getting there.
Oh, there we go. So you're off to the Alps for Keith Melrose. That's one of the more exciting things you've been doing on a weekend for these postcards, Keith, to be fair. Johnny Pearson, to you. What are you up to this weekend?
It's rare to not hear him say he's going to be painting door frames and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd recorded this an hour or so earlier, you'd have heard the joiner putting the door in. So I've contracted that out this week.
Ah, perfect.
I might go and watch Sutton United on Saturday, I'm not sure yet, but if not, just cook some sort of curry or something. Nothing exciting or glamorous.
No, it doesn't sound it, to be fair. Brett Williams always has something exciting on, doesn't he? Go on, where are you off to, Brett?
You're going to be really jealous of me, actually, Sam.
Am I?
It'll be Saturday, Ascot Sunday, and then I get on the aeroplane and head to a place you'd love to be next Saturday.
Oh, Brett, is there any tickets on the plane for the Dubai World Cup at all?
I'm sure we can pack you in my suitcase.
Look, we'll sort who's gonna win? Ed will sort me out. Ed will sort me out. We'll message Ed and see what he can do for me. But I'll be on the plane. No, I won't be on the plane to Dubai. That's not going to be happening. But I'd love to be there. That's going to be mega, Brett. We'll probably be covering bits of that next week. But you're out there for how many days?
Well, I fly on Tuesday, so I'm out there for what, 5 or 6 days. But I must admit, I've not had a good look at the card. But I know a few of the horses that are running. I think Emily Upjohn, obviously Lord North, and a few others. I mean, who's going to win the World Cup?
I haven't had a good look at it yet, but I'm excited to see August Rodin back as well. He'll be back out there as well. That's going to be exciting, but you just know the Japanese are going to be fairly dominant on the card there next Saturday, so I'll be taking a good look at that, and we'll probably cover bits of it on the podcast next week. I'm actually on a stag do this weekend in Bristol, so my weekend probably won't be too quiet, but I'll try and keep an eye on the Lincoln on my phone somehow. So there we go. Big thanks to the panel, as always, Keith Morris, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams. We'll be back again this time next Thursday for another weekend preview. As always, do like, comment and subscribe. And as always, do remember to gamble responsibly. Thanks for watching.